So we're on Daf Nun Bey Zomid Aleph, four lines down from the top. Tana to Bey Menashia. So we have a Brisa. A's, in the case of a goat is a kind of a wild animal. It's difficult, challenging to control it. So with the Mishnah, has as a regular case for an A's, is Chokak La Bein Karneha. So what they would do is, they would pierce holes in the two horns of the goat, and then they would wrap a strap around the goat's head, and that's called Yotza B'Afsar B'Shabbos. We said that an Afsar was that strap that goes around the animal's face, and that's how they control the animal. And anything that's added to the animal, which is to control the animal, that's considered an attachment to the animal. It's not a burden on top of the animal. It's not that the animal is carrying anything, but that's the way the owner could control the animal. And anything that the owner of the animal adds to the animal in order to control it, that's called shlita in Hebrew, right, to control it, that's considered part of the animal. It's not a separate item or article that's being carried by the animal. So this is very important to you, that this afsar has to be tied around the animal in a very permanent way. And we're going to see over and over again that the rule is that whatever you tie on to a human being or to an animal and it goes out into Rishus HaRav on Shabbos, it's got to be very tight. It's got to be very reliable. Otherwise, we're afraid it might fall off and somebody might carry it in Rishus HaRav. So this is the way that the Mishnah recommends that you put this afsar, this halter, he calls it in English, around the animal so that the animal could be controlled, and it's very tight. Boy Rav Yosef, tachavla bizkana mahu. What if instead of drilling holes in the horns of the animal, he drills holes into the beard of this goat? And is that something that's very secure, so that when he holds on to this rein, he knows that it'll remain steadfast, attached to the head of the animal? It won't be detached, because if it's detached, that's not good. He might carry it. Do we say, in the first side of Rav Yosef, Kevan di mintachla koyevle, if the animal, this goat, will move its head back and forth, it's going to hurt the animal, and therefore lo asil inetucha, she will not detach herself from the afsar. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Zimnin derufi v'nafil, that sometimes the attachment to the beard of the goat is not going to be strong enough and it might fall off. And if it falls off, we're in trouble. Why? The Ossi could come, Lasuye, to carry Arba Amos Bishus HaRabin. In other words, he may forget that he's in Rishus HaRabin. He's very eager to bring this officer back home, so he might inadvertently carry it 4 Amos in Rishus HaRabin until he realizes, oh no, what am I doing? And in such a case, he would be violating Meleches Havara. Teku, so the Gemara has no final conclusion on this. So the Rav Yosef Sofek now becomes a Sofek of an Iser of Hotzah. You know, we have to be very careful here, because if this Afsar might fall off, then there's a chash of an Iser Havara, meaning carrying it 4 Amos to Sarab. That's not something that we want. So my friends, next time you raise a goat, you know, you'll have to go through this halacha lemaisa again, if we're in a reshus harabim without an eruv. Now, at this point, we go back to the sugya that we started yesterday, and that's called netirusa yiserosa. There are various ways in which, through different utensils, the owner of the animal could control his animal, but sometimes he overdoes it. He shoots too high, and he uses something to control the animal, which is absolutely not necessary. He could have used something much simpler, more basic. And the Gemara vacillated back and forth whether or not that's considered a masa, since it's not necessary. That's not the normal way with regard to that particular species of animal that you control the animal. So, for example, you have a male, we spoke about a male camel. It doesn't need a ring around its nose. That's for a female camel. And he put this ring around the male camel. So that means he overshot the shmira, the control that he needed. And we wanted to know, does that make it into a masa? As if the animal is carrying something, a burden, which is not necessary for any sort of control over the animal. Tnan hasam. At this point, the Gemara refers to the next Mishnah, and it says, V'lo biritzua shebein karneh. We're talking about a cow. Now, a cow is considered a very placid animal, and it doesn't need what other animals need, like a camel or a horse and the like. We'll soon see four different species of animals that need this rein, that need this halter around the animal's, strap around the animal's head. And here, he ties a strap around the horns of a cow. And that seems to be totally unnecessary. And therefore, the Mishnah prohibits it. The cow, when it moves, is carrying this strap as a masa, as a burden. Om Rab Yirmiya bar Abba, Pligi bar Rav Ushmuel. This brisa, or I should say actually the Mishnah, reflects one particular view in a controversy between Rav and Shmuel as far as cows are concerned. One opinion, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out who that is, Omar Bein Linoi Bein Lishamer Osur. Whatever purpose he has in mind in putting the strap between the horns of a cow, that's prohibited. That's considered a masa. B'chad Omar, according to the second opinion, Linoi Osur, we don't put a strap around the cow in order to adorn the cow with an ornament and some sort of beauty, but Lashamer Mutter. But if he decides that he wants to use this ritzua, this strap, in order to control the cow, even though, and here's the chiddush, it's not really necessary, and it's not something that normally a person would do with a cow. A cow, as we said before, is very passive, but nevertheless, that's permissible. And it would seem that the machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel, again, we're going to find out who holds what, is about this very essential question of Yiserasa, of Netirusa Yiserasa, when he overshoots the normal control of the animal and he attaches something to the animal which is not necessary. Is that called a masa, or do we say no? Yesh b'chlal masai mona, he's still controlling, restraining the animal. Omar Rav Yosef b'tis time de Shmuel hu di Omar osur l'sham osur. I'm sorry. Tis time de Shmuel hu di Omar l'noi osur, but l'shamir mutter. I'm going to prove to you that Shmuel is the one who would allow for this strap between the horns of a cow on Shabbos and Rishus HaRabim, because it's L'shamer. Everybody agrees that in the Noi, for decoration or ornament, it's prohibited. And how do I prove this to you? The Omer of Huna, Barchia, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Kichananya. And we paskin like Hananya. This is a statement in the name of Shmuel. And it was Hananya who is the one who said that if you put a collar around a cat and you latch on to the collar with its rope, that's not considered a masa. That's permissible on Shabbos. And we said that Hananya understood that even though a cat doesn't need such an excessive restraint because it doesn't really need a collar around its neck, nevertheless, Hananya permits it, and Shmuel accepts the halacha like Hananya. And now the Gemara is assuming the following analogy. Just like in a cat, it's not necessary to control the cat with its collar, so too in a cow, it's not necessary to wrap a strap between the horns of the cow, but in both cases, it's mutter. Amalei Abai Adarabba, Tistayim D'Shmuel Hu D'Yomar Bein L'Noi Bein L'Shamer Osur. I have a tradition in the name of Shmuel that even in the case of L'Shamer, where he controls the cow with this strap, it's Osur. And how do I know this? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Machlifin lifnei Rebbe, shalzo bazo mahu." Shmuel reports that the question was brought up in front of Rebbe about this over-excessive kind of restraint, whether it's considered a masa. For example, in the case where we put the bit or the ring around the camel's nose, and that was unnecessary. And Shmuel reports that this question, which came in front of Rebbe, was answered by another Tana, who was there at the time that the question was raised, and that's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Amar lefonov Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, kach amar Abba, I heard in the name of my father that arba behemos yotzos bi afsor, there are four species of animals that require restraint and control, and you put a halter around the head of the animal, and they are the sus, the pered, the gamal, and the chamor. So we have different types of donkeys. We have a mule, we have a donkey, we have a horse, and the most important thing is we have a camel. So why was he emphasizing that in these cases, the way that you take the animal out is with a halter? And Rabbi Shmuel, in interpreting his father's statement in front of Rebbe, he says, "Lav lemute gamal bechatam," that a camel doesn't need a nose ring, and therefore, if he goes out with a camel with a nose ring, which is excessive restraint, that would be a violation of masa b'Shabbos. Again, it's not masa of a person, but nevertheless, we said yesterday that you have to guarantee that the animal doesn't work on Shabbos. Now, the assumption of the Gemara here, and this is Abai's point, is that it would seem from the... Why did Shmuel have, so to speak, an agenda to tell us this whole story about Rabbi Shmuel, who was very meticulous about the statement that he heard from his father, to derive by implication that you cannot go out with an animal with an excessive restraint? It means that Shmuel must have accepted that position. Now, this is a little bit difficult, this Gemara. I just want to point this out almost as a footnote, that Although it's true that Rabbi Yishmael understood from his father that excessive restraint is a masa and it's prohibited, but nevertheless Rebbe himself rejected Rabbi Yishmael's interpretation of his father's statement. And Rebbe claims that what was being emphasized by Rabbi Yossi was not the exclusion of a nose ring around a camel, but the exclusion of a halter around a female camel, which, although it might give him partial restraint and control over the animal, would not be totally successful because the female animal, as we said yesterday, is very uncontrollable. So it's a little bit odd that Abaye builds a case on Shmuel's transmission when Shmuel's transmission is here cut off prematurely. He's only giving you the understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, but not the understanding of Rebbe. And it could very well be that Shmuel accepted the position of Rebbe and rejected this whole meticulous understanding of Rabbi Shmuel of his father's words. So that, I'm just telling you, is an issue in the Shakla V'Tarya, this Gemara. In any event, what we have now to summarize are two different traditions of Shmuel as to what his position was with regard to Nitirusa Yiserta. Because in the first tradition, Rabbi Yosef was the one who said that there was a tradition that Shmuel Paskin like Rav Chananya. And Chananya was the one who said that Nitirusa Yiserasa is not considered a masa, it's permissible. And now we have another contradictory tradition based on the understanding of Abaye, that when Shmuel presented this dialogue between Rebbe and Rabbi Shmuel, it implies that Shmuel accepted Rabbi Shmuel in his understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that if you take the gamal out with this nose ring, and we're talking about a male camel, then that's a violation of masa on Shabbos in Rishus HaRabim. So we have two. Then now, what do you do in a case where you have two contradictory traditions in terms of the position of one particular amora, in this case Shmuel? So the Gemara says, Sami. Sami means we've got to exclude one of them. We have to assume that one of them is somehow an imprecise, inaccurate tradition. Ha makami ha. So the Gemara says that we should accept Abaye, which means that Shmuel is machmir, and we reject Rav Huna Bar Chia, who said in the name of Shmuel that we paskin like Chananya. So you can guess the next two words of the Gemara without even seeing them. My chazis. You know, whenever you have to reject one of two, and the Gemara takes a position, well, let's reject A instead of B, the Gemara is always going to ask the question, my chazis. Why do you choose to reject this one? Why not reject that one? My chazis, the misamisi ha makami ha, sami ha makami ha. Why don't we take the tradition of Rav Huna that Shmuel, in fact, paskin like Chananya, and we can reject Abaye's understanding that Shmuel was machmir to prohibit Shmira Yisera? And the Gemara answers, Hodi Ashkechan Shmuel hu diomar, because we have a very reliable tradition that Shmuel says, Linoi Asur, Lishamir Muta. It's sort of like so we have two contradictory traditions of Shmuel, but I have a third transmission in the name of Shmuel, in which Shmuel said L'shamir Mutar. And that was the case, you remember, where he had a strap between the horns of the cow, which was not necessary, and Shmuel was matir to Itmar, Rav Chia bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Bein l'noi u'bein l'shamar osu. Rav Chiya bar Oven Amar Shmuel l'noi osu l'shamar mutar. So the, although Rav prohibits the cow with the strap, and that's called a masa, but Shmuel says it's permissible. L'shamer mutar. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that Shmuel, tachlis, bottom line is that Shmuel would be matir like Hananya, netirusa yiserta, an excessive restraint, and it's not considered masa. Meisve, what about the following brice? Kishara, baila, v'mosera, kshera. The Torah says about a paraduma that this cow that's totally red can only be qualified as a paraduma if you don't work it at all. It's never been carrying a burden in its life. You'll see the pasuk in just a second. And the Brisa says that if he took this cow and he ties it up with a strap and a leash, it still remains kshera. Isal kedaitoch masuihu asher lo alo alea ol omarachmona. Now, this kasha the Gemara is on the position that l'shamer asur, that even l'shamer is prohibited. That's the position of Rav, and that was the position that Abaye claimed was the position of Shmuel as well. Now, if l'shamer is asur, so that when you tie a strap around the cow in order to control the cow, that's considered a masa, then this has repercussions not only as far as Shabbos is concerned, but also as far as Paradum is concerned. Why? Because if the strap is now a masa, which means that the cow is considered carrying this burden, then that's in contradiction to the requirement of Asher Lo Allah Aleha Ol, which the Torah specifies and stipulates that you, in order for the cow to be valid as a paraduma, it has to have never ever had a yoke which it carried. And this particular case where the strap is around the cow and it's unnecessary from the perspective of the restraint of the owner, then ipso facto becomes a masa. It's an ol, it's a yoke on the animal's back. And that should disqualify the animal as a paraduma. Why does the Braisa say that kosher baleh b'mosera kshera, despite the fact that the owner of the paraduma put a strap around between its horns and he controlled the animal with that strap? Nevertheless, the animal remains kshera. And the Gemara is going to give three answers now. All three answers are going to tell us that under certain specific conditions, unusual scenarios, it's necessary to leash a cow and control it. Omer Abayabai says, "Bimol lichami ear li'ir." This para usually goes back to its original place. It's very, very much like a bird that goes back to its nest by its nature. You know, after we finish this sugya, we're going to write a book about cows and other animals. And now he's taking it from one city to the other. Here he has to control the animal. And if he has to control the animal, then the mosera is not a masa, but rather it's something that the owner of the cow is using, and he needs it in order to control and restrain the cow. Rav Amar, shiny para de domer yukarim. Anyone who has a red cow in his eder, you know, in his group of cows, he's gonna watch that cow like you never saw anyone watch a cow in its life. He's gonna guard it and restrain it. It's worth millions. Somebody told me that there's a paraduma somewhere in New Jersey today. They found. I don't know. I doubt it, but there's a shmua. Ravina gives a third test. Bimo redes. We have an unusual cow that's a little bit wild. And this reminds us of the story that we discussed at the end of yesterday about Levi's donkey. Remember that Levi's donkey shot ahead of his Rebbe, and his Rebbe got all upset about it. So he told me, well, my donkey is a wild donkey. So you have a red cow, you know, red things tend to be a little bit wild. So this red cow was very rebellious, and therefore you had to control it, you had to restrain it, you have to tie it up with a Moser. But in all three answers, the common denominator is that the Moser, the leash around the cow, was absolutely necessary to restrain the cow, and therefore it's not a Masa. So that in all these three cases, there would be no prohibition on Shabbos, and there would be no psul to disqualify the para for carrying a masa. Now, the final maskana of this Gemara seems to be that Shmuel allows, and he's mekil, he permits shmir yisera, Rav prohibits it, and although it's not 100% clear, but it seems that the Gemara is inclined to be matirit. Now we get to collars. You know, let's leave halters and leashes behind. Let's talk about collars. We spoke about collars in the case of a cat. Now we have a collar around a horse. Hasus b'shir. So let's just go back to the Mishnah for a moment. At the beginning of this chapter, that's on Daf Nun Aleph. Don't lose your place here on Daf Nun Beis. But it says, V'sus b'shir, v'chol bali ashir, yotzim b'shir, v'nimshachim b'shir. So we'll translate this Mishnah literally, and you'll see that there are extra words apparently in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to let the horse go out in Rosh Hashanah with a collar, and all animals wear a collar. And then the Mishnah says you could go out with the collar and you could be pulled by the collar. A little bit of an extra language. My yotzim u'may nimshachim. What does the Mishnah have to use this double language for? Yotzim and nimshachim. Amar Rav Huna. This is the first approach to understand that Mishnah. We'll see a second approach soon. O yotzim kruchim, o nimshachim. Rav Huna says that there is a big chiddush in this Mishnah, in the extra words of the Mishnah, kruchim o nimshachim. Nimshachim means that the collar, which let's say is attached to a leash, or there's a leash attached to the collar, that's necessary to pull the animal. And this we understand very well, that the animal could go out with its leash and collar in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because of the necessity to pull the animal. But now he adds kruchim. Kruchim means that the rope, or let's call it a leash, is wrapped around the collar itself. And at this point, it seems that Rav Huna is breaking new ground, that there are two ways, two different methods by which you can undermine a masa in the case of a leash, and it functions in a way that it's considered like part of the animal. One is because the owner of the animal needs to control the animal, to pull the animal, and the other is that by wrapping this very fancy leash around the collar of the animal looks more beautiful. And that becomes a tachshit. That becomes an ornament to adorn the animal. And the Mishnah, according to Rav Huna, by setting up Yotzim and Nimshachim, is telling us this amazing chiddush, that even if the rope, the leash, is wrapped around the collar in such a way that he could no longer, there's not enough rope there to pull the animal, so he can't restrain it or control it by this leash, but nevertheless the leash takes on another status, it's part of the animal, because it somehow embellishes the beauty of the animal. Now, the way that the Rishonim learned this chiddush here of Rav Huna is that it's not that the entire leash from beginning to end is wrapped around the collar of the animal, but there's a little bit of the leash that hangs, so that theoretically he might be able to grab onto that small amount of leash at the end of the wrappings. And that would, in a sense, close the gap a little bit, at least, between Rav Huna and Shmuel. Let's read Shmuel. Shmuel Amar, Yotzim Nimshachim, if the leash is hanging down so that he can use the leash to pull the animal, that's Mutar on Shabbos, but Ein Yotzim Kruchin, but if the leash is wrapped around the collar, and therefore it doesn't function in any way to lead the animal, then according to Shmuel, that's prohibited. And therefore, instead of reading the Mishnah the way Rav Huna read it, as two different phrases, Yotzim and Nimshachim, Shmuel combines these two phrases into one continuous phrase. It's Yotzim Nimshachim. Meaning, not that it's a separate category of Yotzim Kruchim, no. It's Yotzim Nimshachim. The animal could go out because it's Nimshachim, because the leash is hanging down, and it gives the owner of the animal the ability to control the animal with the leash. So basically, we have a machlokas here between Shmuel and Rav Huna. And the Gemara is going to quote a brisa now to support Shmuel. According to Rav Huna, even if the leash is around, wrapped around the collar of the animal, there's a small part that maybe is hanging down, that's okay. That's considered an adornment to the animal. Whereas Shmuel understands that there's no such thing as an adornment to the animal here. The collar and the leash are there for a function. And if he wraps the leash around the collar in such a way that it would be very, very difficult or unusual for him to control the animal with that leash, then it's considered a masa. Omer Av Yosef, Masnisa Tana. Now we have a brisa. Yotzim Kruchim Li Moshech. This brisa is black and white like Shmuel. That according to the interpretation of the Braisa in the Mishnah, it's all one phrase, and you're only allowed to take the animal with its leash if the leash is wrapped around the collar in a way that li moshech, that there's plenty of room for the Baal to grab onto the leash and control the animal. Omer Av Yosef, Chazina Lehu Leigle, these are testimonies. I saw the calves de Bei Rav Huna in the house of Rav Huna, Yotzim Ba'afsir and Kruchim B'Shabbos. He wrapped the strap around the head of the animal. Now that doesn't shock us, because as we said before, Rav Huna was the one who learned O Yotzim Kruchim Onim Shachim. So it makes sense that these calves of Rav Huna would be makil. Ki Yosef Rav Dimi Amar Rav Chanina Mulos, these are mules, shall base Rebbe Yotos Bafsurim B'Shabbos. Fine, that's okay. The mules went out with an afsar. Iboilahu. Now, what was this tradition of Rav Dimi about Rebbe? What was exactly he telling us? Kruchim onim shachim. Was it just that these afsar were long, you know, long ropes that he could control the animal? They were attached to the halter? Or were they kruchim? Were they wrapped around its neck? And that would be the suffix that we had here, the machlokas here between Rav Huna and Shmuel. Toshma, ki ha, ki asa, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amrab Chanina, It means that Rebbe allowed even kruchim, even if the leash was completely wrapped around the neck of the animal. And when this whole tradition was brought in front of Asi, so Hadar of Shmuel bar Yehuda lo tzricha. Why do I need this tradition of Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Chanina? What do I need it for? To tell me about the mules of Rebbe, Midrav Dimi Nafka. We already have the tradition of Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi said that that Rebbe's mulos were Yotzos Bafsareya. So you might tell me, well, Disakadaito to Rav Dimi, if Rav Dimi was just transmitting that the mules of Rebbe were Nimshachim Ka'amar, that's the case, they were just being pulled, is then Mid Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel Nafka. We already have Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, who said that Yotzin Nimshachim. So apparently, Rav Dimi was telling me a chiddush that even if it's kruchim, Rebbe allowed it. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel Machlifin Hayu Lifnei Rebbe. Right, they asked Rebbe what would be in a case where he either undershoots the restraint or he overshoots it. Shel Zubazu Mahu. Omer Lefana Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Kachomer Abba Arba Behemus Yotzos Biafsar. Hasus va'perid va'gamal ve'chamor. So it seems that Rebbe would require, again, this is a little bit of a question as we asked earlier, but anyway, it seems from this part of the dialogue at least that Rebbe would allow only kruchim. So Rav Dimi, therefore, would be just repeating what we know about Rebbe. Why does he have to tell me that the mules of Rebbe would go out with these halters on Shabbos? It must be that he's telling us, a chiddush, that even if it's wrapped around in such a way that, as we said before, it's more of a tachshit than a restraint, nevertheless Rebbe allowed it. So that at this point, we're not exactly sure why we need these two traditions that really are telling me the exact same thing. And Hadar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Lo Tzricha, we don't need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to repeat the story about the Mulal Shel Beis Rebbe. We already know that from Rav Dimi. Amalu Rav Asi Itzrich Lehu. We need both the tradition of Rav Dimi, as well as the transmission of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Why? Dimi, the Rabbi Yehuda Nafka. If all we have is the transmission of Rabbi Yehuda about Rebbe, Hava Mina would have said, Omar Lefana Velo Kibla Mine, that although Rabbi Yishmael had this presentation in which he thought it was Asur, but it could be that Rebbe rejected it. Komashmalon Rav Dimi. Now I need Rav Dimi if I only had Rabbi Yehuda, that he testifies that Rebbe allowed a mule to go out with an afsar. And now we know for sure that Rebbe rejected the position of Rabbi Shmuel, the way Rabbi Shmuel understood Rabbi Yossi. The Rav Dimi, if we only had the transmission of Rav Dimi, Hava Aminah would have said Hani Milim Shalchem Al Kruchim Lo, because Rav Dimi did not spell it out. All he said was that Mulo Shel Beis Rebbe Yotzos Be'Afsareim B'Shabbos. He didn't talk about Kruchim, about the case where the leash was wrapped around the neck. Kamash Milan. That's why I need the tradition of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who says that Rebbe's mules went out with the Afsar, even though it was Kruchim, and therefore I need both statements. Rabbi Osei, now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to know what happens if a collar that's around the animal's neck had, which was susceptible to tumah, had been makabel tumah, and now we have to put it into a mikvah. And the Mishnah says that's fine. Mazim aleim v'tovlon bimkomon. So the Gemara says lememra to bnei kibule tumaninu. So we're going to study this Mishnah from two different perspectives. One perspective is it really so that a collar around an animal is makabel tumah? And the second perspective is, if it is susceptible to tumah, then this should be a problem of chatzitza, that the water of the mikvah, if you leave the collar around the animal's neck, will not be able to go inside. So let's take one problem at a time. Lememra d'mnei kule kibule tumaninu v'atnan. We learned in a Mishnah, and we're now on the last line of Daf Nun Beis Omid Aleph, about to turn to Nun Beis Omid Beis. And we're learning a Mishnah in Masech de Kelim. There are different types of rings. Now we're going to have a whole sugi about two different types of rings. So the Mishnah says, Tabas Adam Tmeya. A ring of a person is considered a kli, and it's makabel tumah, and it doesn't matter what kind of a ring it is. Again, we'll see different types of rings. Tabas behema, however, the ring of an animal, Rashi identifies this as the collar that goes around the animal's neck. And kelim ushar kol atabos. Now we have a ring around a utensil. That means they used to have, in order to pull the utensil, they would have a ring that they would attach and then detach. The shar kol atabos and all other types of rings. Rashi says that when they needed to knock on a door, they would put a ring around the door and they would use it to knock on the door. Tahoros. In all these cases, it's not makabel tumah. None of these rings are makabel tumah, except a ring for a human being. And what this means is that a kli is makabel tumah, but not a kli that functions for a kli. And a tabas is considered a kli for a human being, but not for an animal. And so, there's no such thing as beautifying an animal and making that adornment into something that's makabel tumah. So if a man wears a ring, or a woman wears a ring, right, that's considered a tashit, that's considered an adornment, and that's included in the parsha of Kabbalah's tumah. Well, this is all based on the parsha in Bamidbar called Milchemes Midjan, when they took the booty from, after they defeated the Midjanim, the Torah lists all sorts of kinds of tachshitim, of jewelry, that had to be purified. But that's because it's an adornment for a human being, but not an adornment for an animal. And not a kli for a kli. Like, for example, these rings that are attached to a utensil to function for the utensil. Now again, if they're permanently attached to the utensil, that's a whole different story. Then it becomes part of the kli. But if it's something that you put on and you take off, it's only to function as a separate independent entity on behalf of the kli, to make the kli more functional. So that's called a kli of a kli. A kli of a kli is not makabel tumah. So now we don't understand. Our Mishnah says that the collar needs tefillah. But this collar is around the animal's neck. That should be no different than in this general statement of tabas behema, of a ring for an animal. A ring for an animal is not makabel tumah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'boyin minoy adam linoy behema. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, not the Mishnah in Kalin. Our Mishnah is addressing a case where this collar was used originally as a tachshit for a human being. And while it was a tachshit for a human being, like I think they call it in English, if I'm not mistaken, a choker or something that very often women wear around the neck, it was makabel tumah. And then he reassigned this collar for an animal. So the reason why in our Mishnah the collar needs tefillah is not because it's a tachshit for a behema, but because it was a tachshit for an adam. Now, what we're going to discuss in Mirtz Hashem is, well, now that he reassigns it for an animal, would that be enough to remove the tumah? Because as we said before, the tachshit of a behema is not makabel tumah. But the answer is, once it's already tameh, unless you do a physical change, as we'll learn soon, then you cannot remove the tumah. And here he didn't do a physical change. He just took it from a human being and put it on an animal. Rav Yosef Omar, Hoil V'Yodam Moshech Bohem Es HaBehema. Brilliant, brilliant Chiddush of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that in our Mishnah we're talking about a collar, not for the purpose of adorning the animal, but for the purpose of putting a leash, attaching it to the collar, so that the person could restrain the animal. Then it becomes a kli for an adam. And that's why in Admishnah it's mekabel tumah. Milo sanya, Rabbi Yosef says, didn't we learn a braisa? He's going to prove his point. Makel shel behema. They used to have a stick that they used to, you know, beat up the animal with. Shel mateches. If it's made up of metal, and a metal substance is makabel tumah, even if it doesn't have a kli kibul, has no receptacle, is makabel tumah. My tam, why is that so? Hoil v'yodam roda behem, since it serves man. If it serves man, it's a kli for an adam. So, for example, the shoes of an animal would not be makabel tumah. Only the shoes of a person would. Is Hachinami here, Hoel the other Moshech Bahem, a person uses this leash attached to the collar to pull the animal, then it becomes a kli for an adam, and it's makabel tumah. Whereas the Mishnah in Kalim is talking about a case of a collar that was used to adorn an animal. That's not makabel tumah. Now we have the second issue that I hinted at before. V'tovlam bimkoman for Ika Chatzitza. How is the water, the collar was attached to a rope through a little ring, and the water can't get through the ring in order to surround the collar. So that would be a chatzitza separating the water from the inside part of the collar. Amrav Ami, Bisher Ritchon. Ritchon means he like stretched it out. In other words, what he did was he took this ring that was attached to the collar, and he pounded it with a hammer. So the hole through which the ring was attached to the collar was widened in such a way that there'll be plenty of room for the water to get inside. Now, the Gemara says the following: Lema Rav Ami ki Rav Yosef Svirale. We can only understand Rav Ami in the light of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was the one who said that the collar is a kli for the sake of an adam, because he's Moshech for him. And that makes sense. But if you accept Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that initially this collar functioned for a human being as an ornament, that he transferred this collar from a human being to an animal, is kevan de ritchan avad behu maisa. Once he hammers out the ring around this that's attached to the collar, he has made a physical change. Uparcha la tuma minayu, and the original tuma when the kala was being used for a human being is completely gone, because once you change it and designate it for an animal in this case, then the tumah is parchal yaver, goes completely gone. This non, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim that tells me that kala kelim yardim lidei tumasim b'machshava. Let's say a person decides that even an incomplete kli is, that's good enough for him. So at that point it becomes a complete kli based on his mental designation. But ein olam mitumasim ela b'shinui ma'isa. But if you have something that's already tame, it's not enough to re-designate the object and say, well, it's not a kli, and then the tumah will dissipate. But rather you have to do a physical change in the object. And in our case, this collar in our Mishnah, according to Rav Yitzchak, was subject to a physical change, and therefore the tumah should be completely gone. So you cannot combine Rav Yitzchak Nafka with Rav Ami, because Rav Ami says that he made a physical change. So now the Gemara wants to reconcile Rav Ami with Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Sovra lo ki Rav Yehuda. Rav Ami holds like Rav Yehuda. The Omar Maisa l'saken lav Maisa hu. When we talk about dissipating the tumah because he does a change, that's only if the action that he does is what's called mekalkil. It's destructive. But if it's constructive, then the tumah remains where it is. Desanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have a brice of Rabbi Yehuda Lo Omer, Shinu Maisa L'taken. What we said before, based on the Mishnah in Kalim, that a Shinu Maisa is Malas HaTumah, the Tumah dissipates, that's only if it's a El L'Kalkel. But here, in our case, where he hammers out the ring around this collar in order to improve it, that's considered a Maisel Etaken. If it's a Maisel Etaken, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tumah remains Tumah. And if that be the case, we can reconcile Rav Ami with Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. And there's no contradiction between the two. Now the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Shal Talmud Echad Migolil HaElyon Es Rabbi Eliezer. A question that was posed to Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati, I heard Shecholkim Bein Tabas L'Tabas. I heard that there are different categories of rings, and there's a distinction between one ring and another. And I'm very confused about that, because we had a Mishnah before that says Tabas Adam Tmeya, and it sounds like all rings are included. There's no distinction. Amalos, Rabbi Eliezer sets the record straight. And he says, Shemalo Shamata Linyan Shabbos. There's a distinction with regard to Shabbos. And this is a sugya later on in the sixth parak, Bamei Aisha Yotzeis, that there are different types of rings. There's certain rings that are ornaments, which a woman would normally wear, and that's okay on Shabbos and Rishus HaRabim. And then there are rings that are used for the seal, the signet, which means they sign documents with it. That's not considered a tachshit. But the ilin in tumah, if you talk about two different types of rings, one is an ornamental ring and one is a signet ring, is da v'da chadahi. They both are makabel tumah, there's no difference. So if you heard a distinction between different categories of rings, don't make any mistake. It's only with regard to Shabbos. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Ulinyan Tuma Davida Achas, is this really true? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah that tells us that Tabas Adam Tmeya, Tabas Behema Vekalim Vishar Kol Tabos Tahoros. So you see clearly that we're making a distinction between different categories of rings. There's a ring that's a human ring, and there's an animal ring. An animal ring is not makabel tuma. So the Gemara answers very simply, Ki kamerle ihu nami di adam kamerle. When Rabbi Lazar answered this Talmud Echad, what he meant to say is that with regard to human rings, there's no difference between this ring or that ring. So Gemara again attacks, Udi omar da, Udi adam da v'da achas. Is it really true that with regard to human rings, there's no difference between one ring and another? For Asanya, we have a brisa that says, Tabas is kina lachgar ba masnav, ulekasher ba ben ksefav tahora. There are certain rings that are used not around the finger, but they used to attach to a belt. Or they used to wear something between their kseifah, and they also would add a kind of a band around their sleeve. You know, I'm thinking of, you remember the old pictures in the post office? You know, from 100 years ago, they used to wear these bands to keep their sleeves up. So that's called a lakasha bain kseifav. And this is tar, tahora, the Brisa says. So you see that there's certain bands or rings, like the buckle of a belt, which is in the shape of a ring, and it's not makabel tumah. For lo amru tmeo, when do we say a ring is makabel tumah? That's only the etzba bulvad, only a ring around the person's finger. So you see, we do have subcategories of rings, even with regard to tumah. He was talking about rings around the fingers. There's no distinction between signet rings and adornment rings. They're all makabel tumah. Once again, he attacks him with the etzba dovado achasi. Is it really true that in Hilchas Tumah Vitara, all human rings have the same status? Vasnan, we have a mission in Kalim. Taba shel mateches v'chosama shel almog tmeya. According to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, if you have a metal signet ring, but it is of almog, in other words, there's a seal that's attached, permanently attached to the ring. So the ring is made of metal, and the signet is made of wood. Now, what's the ikar and what's the tofel? Because wood is not makabel tumah if it's not it doesn't have a receptacle. So in the case of a ring or a seal on a ring, it would not be makabel tumah. So the Mishnah quotes the Chachamim that if the structure, the basic structure of the ring is metal, then it's makabel tumah. He shall almog, but if it's a wooden ring and he adds a signet, a seal to it, Chosma shel mateches tahora. In other words, the Tanakhama says everything depends upon what's the main structure or material of the ring. Forget about the seal. The seal is secondary. It's tofel. It's batel. Ki kamar le iu nami kula shel mateches kamar. When Rabbi Loza told that student from the Galil that there's no difference between rings of human beings, he was referring to a ring that's made of metal, entirely made of a kula shell metal. If it's made entirely of metal, it doesn't matter whether it's a signet ring or whether it's an ornamental ring. It's made entirely of metal. Oh, child, and again the student asks Rabbi Eliezer another question in this brisa. Shamati shecholkim bein machat lemachat. I heard there's a distinction between two types of needles or pins. There's a needle that has an eye, and there's a needle that doesn't have an eye. Amalei, shema lo shamata elinyan shabbos, the elinyan tuma davido achasi. There's a distinction with regard to shabbos, because if it's a ring with an eye in it, I'm sorry, if it's a needle with an eye in it, that is designated for sewing, and that is a masa on shabbos, and it's aser. But if it's a ring, if it's a pin without an eye in it, then it's an ornament, and you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Or at least on a Doraisa level, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. But as far as Tumah, Dovid Achas, there's no difference between a machat with an eye and a machat without an eye. So the Gemara asks, Ulinyan Tumah, Dovid Achas, Iva Tnan. What about the Mishnah in Kalim? The Mishnah says, Machat shenital chora o ukta tahora. So you had a needle, and you took out the eye, or you broke the point. Now you did a maisa to change the needle, and it became tahora, because you redesignated, or let's say the other way, you undermined its original function. So the Gemara answers, Kika Amarle, when Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lozer answered this Talmud, Bishlemi, who's talking about a needle that's in perfect condition. And now it matters not whether the needle has an eye in it or it doesn't have an eye in it. So the Gemara asks, "Ubishlema David Achasi, is there no difference between two types of needles as far as tumah is concerned?" For Asnan, we have a Mishnah that says, again in Masech Tekelim, Machat Shehelsa Chaluda, if you have a needle that became rusty, Imake Vesatfira, if you can no longer sew, that's how rusty it is, you can't use it functionally as a sewing needle, Tahora, Vimlav Tmeya, Vimar, Viamri Debei Ravyanai, Vehu Sheri Shumonikar. So in other words, if there's a very radical amount of rustiness, then it's no longer functional. So you see the different types of needles, ki kamalei b'shifa kamalei. Rabbi Lozu was talking about a normal classic needle. It's very polished up. It's not rusty. So the Gemara says, b'shifa davida achasi, both types of needles are the same as far as tumah because they are polished. V'asanyu, we have a brisa that says, machat, bein nekuva, bein she'ena nekuva, mutal etaltala b'shabes, v'lo amrina nekuva elinyan tuma bilvat. So as far as tuma is concerned, we require that this machat be nekuva. So the Gemara answers, ha'targamo abaye aliba derava b'golme. This was a case of a needle that wasn't completed. And at what point do we say that it's complete, and therefore it's a kli, and it's mekabel tuma? Only after he puts the nekev in. So he intended to put this hole, this eye in the needle, and that's going to be the din, that it's got to be nekuva, and then it's a complete kli. So you have here this price up, a complete polished needle, and yet there's a distinction between two types of needles. And in Tuma we see a distinction here. So in other words, the Gemara later on in Masechta Shabbos has an opinion of Rava that we're talking about an unfinished needle in which the eye has not yet been formed. Such a needle is not susceptible to tumah because the Torah says you need a kli maisa, which implies that a utensil is only makabel tumah if it's completely finished and now it's functional for its original purpose for which it was created. With regard to mukta, this requirement does not apply, and therefore a person might sometimes change his mind. He decides to leave the needle in its current state without an eye and use it for extracting thorns, right? Lahotzi kotzim, Rashi says. And it already has the status of a kli. But that's not true with regard to tuma vitara, because there the Torah says you need a kli maisa. So if you have a piece of metal, for example, a craftsman intended to make this a needle out of this metal, if his original purpose was to make it into a pin, then it's complete even without an eye. But when Rabbi Loza said that all rust-free needles, complete needles, are the same respect to tuma, he was referring to needles and pins that are complete for their respective purposes. Alright, we'll stop here on the bottom of Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, four lines up before the bottom with the Mishnah.